evening. Welcome to our service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, please. Isaiah chapter 6. We'll begin in verse number 1. I'd like to spend a few moments talking about the holiness of God. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1. Let's read in verses 1 to 8 of Isaiah chapter 6. It reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, and we bless you and we praise you for your holiness. And Lord God in heaven, I pray that you would teach us how we can honour you in your holiness in a greater way, that we might live holy lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Here in Isaiah chapter 6, while Isaiah was in the temple, we would assume there in Jerusalem, he receives a vision of God, and he receives a vision of God's holiness. And as a result, he acknowledges God and surrenders to his service. How can we grasp all that God is? How can we grasp God's holiness? Back in the biblical times, God spoke through visions, he spoke through dreams, he spoke directly through his prophets, because God's word was not complete. People had portions of God's word, but they didn't have the complete canon of scripture as we know it today. So God spoke to his people by various means. Today we have the complete canon of Scripture from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. It is God's sure word. And Peter, the apostle, said there in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verses 19 to 21 that the word of God is that more sure word of prophecy. The word of God is the key to seeing God in all his holiness, that we might value his holiness and be a holy people and respond to his holiness. I'd like for us to first and foremost this evening note that Isaiah was in the temple. God's presence was in the temple. The Bible teaches us there in verse number 1 that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train or his glory filled the Isaiah was in the temple. God's presence is in the temple. For you and I today, our bodies are the temple of God. God indwells a people. God does not indwell a building. God indwells His people. And for those of us that have received Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, God, by His Holy Spirit, indwells us with His permanent presence. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the Bible reads, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And if we are to be a people that understand and appreciate and honor the holiness of God, we need to live within the reality, or live with the a conscious knowledge, that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God appeared to Isaiah within the temple. The child of God today is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Does God live in your life in the person of the Holy Spirit? If you will repent of your sin and by faith receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible teaches us you will be born again by the Holy Spirit, and God's Spirit will indwell you. You will be sealed unto the day of redemption. So God's presence was in the temple, and we must live with that reality. If we are to be holy, if we are to live holy, we need to live with the conscious reminder that God is in me. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. God indwells me by His Holy Spirit. Isaiah had such an understanding. He could see God. He noted God's presence within the temple. And the Bible teaches us His train, or His glory, filled that place. So Isaiah was in the temple. And I trust that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I trust that you've received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. That's where it all begins, if you and I are to live a holy life. Secondly, this evening, note then verse number 2, what Isaiah saw. Note then verse number 2. He saw God Himself, the Bible teaches us. In verse number 1, we are told, he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And then in verse number 2 it reads, above it stood the seraphims. Now, seraphims are angelic beings. They're not mentioned often in the Bible. In fact, if my memory serves me well, this is the only time that seraphims are mentioned in the Bible. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 2, each one had six wings. These were very special angels with six wings. And the Bible teaches us with twain he covered his face, with twain, or with two, he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So we see, secondly this evening, not only was Isaiah within the temple, but secondly we note, what did Isaiah see in this vision? Well, he saw, first and foremost, he saw God. God Himself seated upon a throne. And there in verse number 1, the Bible teaches us he sees God high and lifted up. Isaiah had a big view of God. He saw God for all that God is. And I'm afraid that for many of God's people, God is smaller than a midget. God is no bigger than an ant, the way many of God's people live today. But Isaiah saw God high and lifted up, seated upon the throne. How and where do we see God? Do we look for visions of God? Well, the Bible reveals God. The Word of God is all about our God. The Word of God is about God. God is all over the Scriptures. God is all over the Scriptures in His person, in His presence, in His power. We can consider creation and we see the power, the wisdom, the might of God. When we consider, for example, the universal flood, we see God. When we consider that Red Sea crossing, we see and we envision God. We see God within the Scriptures. We see God active throughout the pages of Scripture. And beloved, this evening, if we are to be a holy people, we need to see God. Where do we find God? We find God in the Holy Scriptures, at work within the lives of humanity. And then we read there in verse number 2 that the angelic beings responded to a vision of God. They responded in reverence. In verse number 2, the Bible teaches us that these seraphims, plural, we're not told how many of them, but we're told there are a number of them, and with two of their wings, two out of their six wings, they covered their faces in reverence. And with two of their wings, they covered their feet in honor. And with those other two wings, the Bible teaches us that they did fly. So we see that as God is lifted up, as God is seen within this vision, that these angelic beings demonstrate and respond in reverence. And my friend, this evening, as we see God's person at work within the pages of Scripture, it should cause us to reverence Him. As we consider, for example, the universal flood, how God poured out His judgment upon humanity that rejected His presence and His will, it ought to cause us to reverence our God. To reverence our God as God poured down fire and brimstone upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It ought to cause us to reverence our God. As we consider that God received Abel's offering, but God would not receive Cain's offering, it ought to cause us to reverence our God, because God is God. He is Lord of all. And when we see God, God is in the Scriptures. The Scriptures reveal our God. And if we would just stand back and just meditate upon the God of the Word, it should cultivate within our hearts a sense of reverence and respect. I'm afraid that the average Christian has very little respect and honor for their God. A reverence for God will lead to a humility of life, like Abraham of old, who was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac upon the altar. Isaiah was in the temple. Isaiah saw a vision of God. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, please, verse number 18. 2 Corinthians that we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, or as in a mirror, in reference to the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And this verse simply teaches, if we will just meditate upon God in the Scriptures, as we focus upon our God and the Scriptures, God the Holy Spirit will change us, will transform us from glory to glory, little bit by little bit. Where do we see God? We see God in the Scriptures. What did Isaiah see in this vision? He saw God high and lifted up. And my friend, this evening, if we are to be a holy people, we need to see God. We need to take note of God in the Scriptures. The Scriptures are all about our God. Consider the countless people of God in the Bible that responded to their holy God, their mighty God, responded in reverence and in humility and obedience because they saw God. And God reveals Himself in and through the Scriptures, and it's the Holy Spirit of God that reveals to us all that God is. And thirdly this evening, note there in the third verse that Isaiah heard something. He not only saw God in the temple, verses 1, leading into verse number 2, but in the third verse, the Bible teaches us that Isaiah heard something. He heard one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." So what did Isaiah hear? Well, he heard those angelic beings crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." He heard those angelic beings proclaiming God's holiness. And beloved, this evening we need to likewise hear God's messages proclaiming the holiness of God. We likewise need to hear God's holiness being proclaimed through the pulpits of this country. We need people calling out and crying out the holiness of God. And if we'll hear it, we might believe it. If we hear of the holiness of God, we might actually believe in the holiness of God. The New Testament church, with all of its activities, needs to be proclaiming the holiness of God. The holiness of God is absent in many churches. It's absent in many ministries. And we wonder why many of God's people are not living holy lives. Could it be that they're not hearing from angelic beings, they're not hearing from God's people, "Holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. He is the triune, holy God." And the Bible also teaches us in verse number 3 that one cried unto another. So Isaiah not only heard the angelic beings proclaiming God's holiness, but also Isaiah heard these angelic beings proclaiming God's holiness to one another. They did not keep it to themselves. They shared this revelation with one another. And so likewise for you and I that know Jesus Christ as Savior, we that are the temple of the Holy Spirit, as we study the Scriptures and God reveals and reminds us of His holiness, we need to provoke one another to a life of holiness. We need to be sharing with one another the need for a holy life, because God is holy. We need to hear it from our pulpits, do we not? We need to hear it in our ministries. You Sunday school teachers need to be proclaiming the holiness of God. You youth workers, you young adult teachers, you life stage teachers, in every single level, we need to be exalting and elevating the holiness of God. Because if people will hear it enough times, they will believe it. Yes, God is holy. If we proclaim the holiness of God, God will bless that. We need to be encouraging one another concerning the holiness of God. Because there in verse number 3, one cried unto another. They encouraged one another concerning the holiness of God. And church family this evening, may I encourage you, that we need to encourage one another concerning the holiness of God. We need to remind one another concerning the holiness of God. Only this morning I had to remind a believer concerning the holiness of God. I had to take care of a few little prophetic moments this morning during the fellowship time. And I had to remind some concerning the holiness of God. We need that. We need to remind one another concerning God's holiness. One cried unto another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And then he said, how did Isaiah respond to this? As he heard about the holiness of God. Note then verse number 5, his response. Then said I, woe is me. See, when God's holiness is elevated, sin is exposed. And Isaiah cries out, he responds here in verse number 5, woe is me. Woeful is me. For I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. This is the prophet Isaiah. This is no ordinary street kid. This is the prophet Isaiah. This is a man of God. And Isaiah said, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And then he went on to say in verse number 5, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So as Isaiah caught a vision of God's holiness, and he heard of God's holiness, he could see himself in true light. The mirror of God's Word will elevate the holiness of God and reveal our sin before a holy God. And as you and I note the holiness of God throughout the pages of Scripture, it will do a work within our hearts to the point that it will reveal our own sin before a holy God. Sin within our personal lives. Do we see sin within our personal life? We will if we catch a glimpse of God's holiness. The more we appreciate and meditate and focus upon the holiness of God, the light of God's holiness will shine so brightly that it will reveal sin. I think for most of us, we like to think we're okay. I'm doing okay. I'm not too bad. I'm not committing the 4 unpardonable sins. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't swear, don't listen to rock music, I'm okay. Well, you might not do the above, and I'm glad you don't, but you still might not be okay. But if you and I would focus upon the holiness of God in the Scriptures, God will reveal our sin. And not only did Isaiah see his own sin, he could see clearly the sin of others. He could see sin within the lives of his own people. His vision was clear. He could see with greater clarity the sin within his own heart and his own deceitfulness. Oh, my friend, the Bible teaches us that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can fully know the human heart? We are wicked to the core. No matter how good you might think you are, we are wicked to the core. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would be in hell right now. Praise God for His grace. But that sinful nature still abides within you, still abides within me. And Isaiah, the man of God, not some puny little street kid. No, a man of God said, I'm an unclean man. And I dwell amongst an unclean people. Wow, what humility. What humility. And thereby he seeks cleansing. And that leads us to verses 6 and 7, and God provides cleansing. Cleansing follows confession, acknowledgement of sin. And Isaiah could see his sin because he could see the Lord. Mine eyes have seen the King, at the end of verse 5 it reads. Then note then verses 6 and 7, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, because Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips. And he laid it upon my mouth, verse 7, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. So within this vision that Isaiah experiences, he has a vision of God. He sees God within this vision. And as he sees God in all of his holiness, he is mindful of his own sinfulness. He's mindful of his own shortcomings. And this pain of sin, and God in His graciousness offers cleansing and purification there in verses 6 and 7 as Isaiah confesses his sin in verse number 5. And likewise, my friend, for those of us that see God in all of His holiness, we would catch a glimpse of God's holiness. We would see our own shortcomings in a greater light. And thereby we will find ourselves in a position of cleansing where we can have that forgiveness. That wonderful passage of Scripture there in 1 John chapter 1, please. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse number 7. To verse number 9. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. The Bible reads, But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. There's a lot of Christians out there deceiving themselves. The truth is not in us. But then comes verse 9. If we confess, we agree with God. God knows our sin. The word confess just means to agree. Do you think God is surprised? Do you think God is relieved when you and I confess sin as if, oh, I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have picked it. No, the word confession means you agree. God wants us to confess with Him. Yes, yes, I have sinned. That's what Isaiah did. He said, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. He agrees with God. So when we confess our sins, we are agreeing with God that this is sin, whatever it might be. And then the good news. He is faithful. And He is just to forgive us. That's a definite statement there. Not might forgive us, to forgive us. If we confess our sins, that's the condition. If we agree with God, this is sin in my life, He, the faithful one, He, the just one, will forgive us our sins, plural. Because we're not perfect, we will sin time and time again. Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. But it's in the light of God's holiness that we will see our sin. And as we see our sin for all that it is, so contrary to God's holiness, God gives us an opportunity to be cleansed. And God could see in the heart of Isaiah a man that wanted to be cleansed, a man that reverenced and honored God and could see God for all of His holiness, and he felt so unworthy. by his sin, and yet God in his graciousness provided forgiveness. And at the end of verse number 9, it reads, "Thy sin purged. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." And then note then verse number 8, "And then he heard with this cleansing of heart." Now Isaiah could hear as never before. Note then verse number 8 of Isaiah 6. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me." And my point is simply this. When we have a greater understanding of God's holiness, it will lead to personal cleansing. And then we will hear God with greater clarity. It's no coincidence that verse number 8 reads, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord." So as he was cleansed, he could hear God with greater clarity. And he heard very clearly the calling of God. God speaks to us through the Word of God. The problem is that many of God's people cannot hear with clarity because of unconfessed sin. And I'd like to submit to you and I this evening, if you and I will catch a glimpse of God's holiness in the Scriptures, it will reveal to us our own sin. And as we deal with that sin, as Isaiah dealt with that sin, he could hear God now with greater clarity. We see God in his holiness. And as God reveals our sin, and when we confess that sin, we will hear God with greater clarity and understanding. I really believe this is why many of God's people are not hearing from God. Even though they're reading their Bibles regularly, even though they're attending church on a regular basis, let me tell you why they're not hearing from God. Let me tell you why some of you are not hearing from God. Could it be there is unconfessed sin in your heart? And therefore the hearing is not there. We're not hearing with clarity. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And then verse number 8 reads, "Here am I," and ends with, "Here am I, send thee." A surrendered Christian life. Isaiah was a man that surrendered to God's will for his life. But where did it begin? It began with a glimpse of God's holiness. Seeing God in all of his holiness. Where do we read of God's holiness? The Scriptures. The Scriptures reveal the holiness of God. And as we focus upon the God of the Word, and as God, by His Spirit, ministers to our heart concerning the holiness of God, then sin will slowly but surely come to the surface. And as we deal with that sin and we seek that cleansing via confession, then we will hear with greater clarity the guidance and the leadership of God. Could it be that there are some listening to this sermon, even right now, that God wants in His service, but yet you're not hearing. You're not hearing. You can't hear His call because of sin that's undealt with. I'd like to encourage you, my friend, this evening to make sure that your heart is clean and pure before a holy God. And we don't need an experience to get a grasp of the holiness of God. We just need to meditate upon God in the Scriptures, the Holy One, and consider His holiness and all that God is, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah had to go into that Jewish temple and catch a glimpse of God's glory. But blessed be God, we as people of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are the temple of God. And we can access and have an understanding of God's holiness through the Scriptures. And as we respond to that with humility and reverence and confession and cleansing, oh, we'll hear from God in a greater way. Do you need to hear from God? Is there something in your life that is troubling you? Is there a question that you want answered in your life? Is there a need that you want met in your life? Could it be that if you and I would just meditate upon the holiness of God in the Scriptures, that God will reveal our sin, provide cleansing, and then we will hear as never before? I think of Job of old there in Job chapter 42, and I'll close with this. Let's turn to Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. Verse number 5 and 6 of Job 42, it reads, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Yes, Job of old had a fresh glimpse of all that God is, and it changed his life. May God cause us as his people to live holy lives. But we need to see God in all of His holiness and respond accordingly to His holiness. And then you and I will hear with greater clarity what God has for us. And may I submit to you this evening that God has something very special for each of our lives, for His glory, that His name might be praised. Let's pray.